Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans.
We'll pick up the study in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 21. If you remember, we had read verses 16 and 17 about the gospel of Christ, the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, that in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God in the gospel is revealed, is uncovered. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And in contrast to that, we read last time, verses 18 to 20. Let me reread them. For the wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is uncovered from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest, is evident in them, for God has manifested it. God has made it evident. God has shown it to them. They suppress, they hold down the truth, and God's wrath is revealed from heaven against them because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Verse 24, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. His existence, his divinity, his eternal power, he is the Almighty God. And the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men because what may be known of God is evident. It's understood by the things that are made, by the creation. We discussed that last time. Since the creation of the world, it's clearly seen. So what? So they are without excuse. It is inexcusable for them not to believe in him, so that they are without excuse. And then you come to verse 21. So they know, but they suppress the truth. They suppress it in their unrighteousness. His wrath is revealed, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What happens? What happens to mankind? You have in verse 18 to verse 32, a good description of the spiral down, the descent of man as man goes further and further away from God. And remember, not only his invisible attributes, the things of him are seen in the creation. Since the creation of the world, his power, his Godhead, and every human sees those things, right? Every human being ever born sees this general, natural knowledge of God. From the creation, we know there is an almighty God, his eternal power. Every human sees this general, natural revelation. But not only do we have, since the creation of the world, what is made speaking to us, but even at some point, you have personal knowledge, right? All of the descendants of Adam and Eve. What happened in Eden was told to Adam's descendants, and they lived to long ages. So they did not tell just the next generation. They told generation upon generation. When you read about the ages before the flood, you find out that there's a great overlap of generations because of the ages they lived to. And that information they gave, that personal information, that knowledge, is handed down, and then everyone is a descendant of Noah, right? So all the nations come from Noah's sons. And at some point you have some knowledge, specific personal knowledge of Him, the one true God, that comes to each and every nation, each and every society as they come off the ark. So there's this general revelation in nature, and then specific revelation, what is handed down from generation to generation, what is known. And when you go back in the history of different cultures, you find remnants of this. You know, I believe it's the Chinese word for boat, is the symbol is a boat with eight people in it. There was a book we read about tribes in Africa, and they have all these gods they worship. And then they said, oh, but there's that one God, you know, the God of gods. We don't know Him, but we know He's there. There's residual knowledge that comes down, because when they came off the ark, there was specific, besides the general revelation, there's specific information from a personal contact with Almighty God. And certainly in America, we cannot say that we have not had specific personal biblical revelation, right? We have the general natural revelation, but we've also had from the elders, from the people who founded this country. We've had the Bible proclaimed. We've had specific personal biblical revelation that's been handed down. But what happens? You have this general revelation, and then you have from nature, then you have the specifics that are handed down, the specific knowledge of God. What happens to the human condition? What is the trend? What is humankind like? Verse 21, because although they knew God, that's the initial state, right? So there's no excuse. Although they knew God, they know Him from creation. And as I just said, as you go back, everyone has knowledge, specific knowledge of Him. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They knew God. Ginosko, to come to know, to recognize, to perceive. And the Greek scholar Robertson says that the tense used here, the word, means to know by personal experience. To know by personal experience. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. That's why the wrath of God is uncovered against all mankind. Originally, there was this specific personal knowledge coming off the ark. They knew more than they did, right? They knew more. It sounds like yogiism, the yogi bearism. They knew more than they did, and that's the reason for their condemnation. They can say, oh, we don't know if there's a God, or we can make other images of God, but deep down, there's this natural revelation. There's this information that's come down, specific revelation. But the sin is they did not glorify Him as God. Glorified. Doxazo, to render, to esteem glorious. Do we glorify God? Do we praise God? Do we honor God? All this is in that word. Do we magnify and extol God? Do we as a nation, do we as a people, do we as individuals, would you say that our schools, doxazo, glorify Him as God? Does our TVs glorify Him as God? Does our government glorify Him as God? Our families, our communities. You know, there was a time in America when the answer was yes. We look around us, this creation, our existence, our spirits made in His image. He's the Father of spirits. He's made it all. He controls it all. He will establish His eternal kingdom. And do we esteem Him glorious? Do we render Him praise? Do we ascribe honor to Him? Do we acknowledge Him, His being and His Godhead, His attributes and His eternal power, His wondrous acts? It's all around us. We should glorify Him. But do we? Listen to the fall of the nations here in Romans chapter 1, and really the fall of all mankind, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were what? Nor were thankful. NIV says, nor gave thanks to Him. Eucharisteo. You get the word Eucharist from it, because the table, the communion table, was a table where you gave thanks. And that's where the word came in, and, you know, the progression from there. Eucharisteo in the Greek. Paul says, nor were thankful. They don't recognize God. They don't give Him the glory due Him, and they're not thankful for what He has done. And they just take everything for granted. Isn't that the way of the human race? To push God aside, to push Him out of the way, or to hold down, to suppress the truth, and not to have a thankful heart for the life He's given us, for the creation He's prepared for us, and they go their own way. Many people don't even give God consideration until the very end when they're sick and they're dying. And if they've gone too far down the path of hardness, they don't even do it then. They just assume, I should have this life. I should just live it. I'm doing my way. I want to do what I want to do. And they don't consider who made it. He should be glorified. Look what He's given me. We're here. He should be thanked. And are we a country that gives thanks? Are we a thankful people? Are we conscious of the benefits we receive, expressing our thanks to God? And once the answer in our country was yes. And certainly the U.S. had more to be thankful and has more to be thankful for than probably any nation in the history of the world. At one time, the answer was yes. This is a proclamation. The Continental Congress, you go down to the foundation, right? The text of the Continental Congress, November 1st, 1777. We're still at war with England. It's a year after the Declaration of Independence. National Thanksgiving Proclamation, as printed in the Journals of Congress, Saturday, November 1st, 1777. The committee appointed to prepare a recommendation to the several states to set apart a day of public thanksgiving brought in a report which was taken into consideration and agreed to as follows.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, helps, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on Rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.